I want to talk to you this morning about our high priest. Our high priest. And I want you to understand what he is in a position to do for you as your high priest. And that's Jesus. Say, Jesus is my high priest. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what the Bible teaches. With all due respect to every other group and denomination, I don't need a priest. I got one. Amen. Hallelujah. I've got one. Hallelujah. He sits at the right hand of the Father in the heavenlies, and he ever lives to intercede for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Have you ever thought, I mean, how can we lose with Jesus praying for us and Jesus interceding for us? If God be for us, then who can be against us? Amen? Hallelujah. So just know that you're blessed because you have a high priest, my high priest. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that this word is going to go into our hearts, that the Holy Spirit is going to take this word and put it into us and into our minds and into our heart and transform us and change us, Lord. Thank you, God, for the word of God. Thank you for the power of your word, that it is a sharp, two-edged sword, and we pull that sword out today in the name of Jesus and use it against the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to start. Our first verse this morning is in the book of Job, chapter 9, verse 33. Book of Job, chapter 9, verse 33. I want you to listen to this verse. Job is talking about God. Remember Job? Job was having all kinds of troubles because God picked a fight with the devil. God picked that fight. Did you know that? He asked, the Bible says, Satan or Lucifer appeared with the other sons of God, and they appeared before the throne. And God said to Lucifer, have you considered my servant Job? How he blesses me and worships me. And Satan said, well, I'd bless and worship you too if you was as good to me as you've been to him. But let me take something away from him and he'll curse you. And he began, God moved the hedge a little bit, moved the boundaries. And Job was tested. And Job didn't curse God. He blessed God. He wouldn't curse him. But he still didn't understand what was happening. How many of you ever had stuff in your life and you're like, man, I just don't know what's going on. God, where are you? What's happening? Well, that's where Job got. So he's talking about God, and here's what he says. He is not a mere mortal like me that I might answer him. I can't just talk to God like I'd like to. He's not, you know, he's not like two men talking together. He's not a mere mortal that I could just, because I got some questions and I need some answers, and I'm a little confused about why I'm going through everything that I'm going through. He says that we might confront each other in court. That we could have a dialogue, that we could debate, that we could work this out. He says, if only there was someone. That's good. He said, if only there was someone to mediate between us. Someone to bring us together. Joe said, if there was somebody that could stand between me and God, if there was somebody who could bring us together, if there was somebody that I could talk to, if there was somebody that understood what I'm feeling, if there was somebody that was a man like me and could understand. Church, I want you to understand something. We have that somebody. Jesus brought us together. Amen. Jesus came and brought us together. I couldn't get to God and he couldn't get to me because of sin. Sin separated us. But Jesus came and broke the power of sin on the cross, and he tore down the wall, and that curtain that four yoke of oxen could not pull apart was torn apart. And we were invited into the Holy of Holies. Paul said that we might come boldly before the throne of grace by a new and living way. He made a way for me to come into the presence of God. He made a way for me to talk to God. That cry from Job's heart, if there was somebody that could bring us together, if there was somebody that I could talk to, that prayer has been answered. Jesus is the answer to that prayer. Look at Hebrews chapter 7. I want to talk about Hebrews, all about our high priest, our high priest. He says, but he, talking about Jesus, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24, but he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Amen. Aren't you glad he can save to the uttermost? Glory to God. He is able to save us completely. When we couldn't save ourselves, he came and did what we could not do. I want to get to God, but I can't get to him. And Jesus made a way. Jesus built a bridge so that we could get to God. He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So he is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for his church, for his people, for his bride. For such a high priest is fitting or becoming to us, our high priest, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. That's our high priest. Listen to this. He's holy. He's harmless. He's undefiled. Separate from sinners. Higher than the heavens. Hallelujah. That's our high priest. So here's Job crying out because his life has overwhelmed him. It seems like everything's gone wrong. Days when you felt like you'd have been better off if you'd stayed in bed. You know those kind of days? And everything I've touched today has been bad. It's like I can't do anything right. Everything's falling apart. We've all been there. We've all said, does God listen? Does he really hear? Does he care? Does he even hear my prayer? How can I talk to God? How can I make him understand what I'm feeling? Is there anybody who understands? The Bible says that Jesus has been touched with all of your infirmities. And the Bible also says he has been tempted in all points as we have. How many of you have been tempted? Three of you? We've all been tempted. Amen. In case you didn't know, there's no sin in being tempted. Some of you are like, I don't know if I'll raise my hand to that or not. We've all been tempted. Jesus has been tempted with all the things you've been tempted with. He faced it. He faced it. The Bible says he was tempted in all points as we were, yet without sin. Thank God he didn't give in to it. He didn't do what we did. Amen. He didn't give in to it. But you know what that means, though? Here's why that's important. He knows what I'm feeling. He knows where I'm coming from. He's felt the weight of the infirmity. He knows what it's like. The Bible says that he became sin. He has carried the weight of the world. He's tasted it. He knows. That makes him such a wonderful high priest. When I bow down on my knee and say, Jesus, I'm feeling lonely, or I'm feeling hurt, or I feel betrayed. I don't know what's going on. I can't work this out. He's been there. He can sympathize with our hearts. There is someone who understands you. There is someone who cares. There is someone who will listen. There is someone who has all the answers, and his name is Jesus, my high priest. First of all, it said he abides forever. Amen? How many of you know the world is changing? It's changing quickly. The world is nothing like what I grew up in. It feels like the very ground is shifting around us. We're like, man, what is going on? Have people lost their minds? The world's gotten crazy the way people think. Amen? Did you read this week where the Boy Scouts is dropping the word boy? I'm like, what? Are we losing our minds? You know, it's just nuts. And I could sit here and go on and on and on with examples like that. We're just like, come on, people. The world's getting crazy. So everything around us is shifting and everything around us is changing. But here's some good news. Jesus abides forever. Amen. Jesus abides forever. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. There's a lot of things in life that will let you down. May not mean to. I might let you down. I wouldn't mean to, but I might. People will fail you. They just will. People will sometimes hurt you. Friends will betray you. Family will sometimes fail you. Even fellow believers may let you down in some respect. Probably don't mean to, but we're human. But I'm here to tell you something this morning, and you can count on this. Jesus will never, ever fail you. Jesus will never, ever let you down. You may not understand everything that God does. I don't understand everything that God does. I don't understand why he does it. But you know what? I trust him. I trust him. I like to use that example of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego when they were about to be thrown into the furnace because they would not bow to the image. And listen to what they said. They said, "Our God is well able to deliver us from your furnace." That's faith. Our God is able. Our God is greater than your furnace. We're not afraid of your furnace. We serve a mighty God. But I really, really like the next thing they said. But if he chooses not to, if he don't come through, if he don't answer the prayer, if he don't do just what we think he ought to do, we still will not bow. And you know what that is? That's trust. I know my God's able to heal me. I know my God's able to provide for me. I know my God is able. I know he's able. But you know what? Even if he doesn't do just everything I think he ought to do, I still love him. I still trust him. I'm still going to follow him. I'm not giving up on him because he knows better than I do. That deep-seated trust, because I know he never changes. And I trust him. I'm holding on to him. Folks, you can hold on to a lot of things. I'm holding on to Jesus. I'm holding on to Jesus. I'm holding on to the Word of God. That's, you know what? More and more and more, that's all we've got left. Cling to the Word of God. Cling to the cross. Cling to Jesus. And everything else may change and shift and go here and go there and the winds blow it. But when all the dust settles, God will still be standing there. Amen? Amen. Our high priest is also able to save completely. Well, I like this one. Because I needed saving. Amen. I needed a savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a savior. A savior, which is Christ the Lord. We needed a savior to save us completely. You know what that means? It means I'm not partially saved. I'm not halfway saved. I'm not on parole. Everything that once stood against me has been canceled. Everything that once stood against me is out of the way. Everything that once stood against me has been washed away by the blood of Jesus. Everything has been made clean by the blood of Jesus. He has saved me completely. The work is done. Amen? When he said it is finished on the cross, he meant it is finished. He did the work. All he asked is that we believe. We put our trust, our faith in the work of the cross. He accomplished the work. It's a done work. It is a done deal. His work in me is complete. It was never and could never be my work. There is nothing I could ever do to add to the blood of Jesus. Can you imagine such a thing? Jesus presents the blood at the feet of the Father. Here is the blood of the cross. Here is the blood of salvation. Now, what are you going to walk up there and get and present? After the blood has been presented at his feet, what could I walk up there and lay down? There's nothing I could bring, but I don't have to. The blood was enough. Amen? The blood was enough. Say I'm a finished work. The Bible says we have been made the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Say, I am the righteousness of God. Amen. Look in the mirror when you get home and you're looking at the righteousness of God. Amen. You are the righteousness of God because you wear the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not your righteousness. Your righteousness is like a filthy rag. That's what the Bible says. That means on your best day, you're not very good. But the righteousness of Jesus Christ covers you and you become the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. But you'll say, well, Glenn, there's still a lot in me that's undone. There's still a lot in me. You know, I'm not perfect. The moment you are born again, you are as holy and as righteous as you will ever be. Washed in the blood of Jesus, he has made you the new creature born in you. I am a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away and all things are made new. He has created and made you a brand new creation. Now out here, there's still some imperfections. And what God has created on the inside, he is bringing to the outside. Amen? And that's why we are being conformed to his image. In other words, as a Christian, I start changing my life. I start talking a little better. I start acting a little better. He is working on the inside to make me what he wants me to be. The child of God in you is a perfect work. He saved you completely. That's the only way you can be spotless and without blemish is because of the blood, because of what he did. And what's beautiful about it is that beautiful work he's done on the inside of you, he wants it to come out of us. That's what being sanctified is all about. Is that we start showing others what God has done inside of us so that they can see. So that's why with this knowledge, it's important for us to surrender what is not finished in my life to him who is the author and finisher of our faith. If there are things in my life that are unfinished, surrender it to it. Give it to it. The other thing our high priest is holy. I like that word holy. Holy. It just makes you holy. They sang that song today, you know, the seraphim around the throne with six wings. The Bible says with two wings they cover their eyes and with two wings they cover their feet and with two wings they fly. And they sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was, who is to come. Holy, 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 holy. The holiness of God is beyond our weak powers of comprehension. It really is. The ability to comprehend that Jesus was so pure, pure light. In him there was no spot. He was a spotless lamb. He was so pure, there was not one stain of sin. There was not the slightest blemish. Isaiah caught a glimpse of God and cried, woe is me, for I am undone. How can I, who am undone, ever meet with someone who is so holy? But because of the cross, he tore the curtain and invited you into the same ground that he stands on. Amen? He invited you into the same place. We have a high priest who met the standard of holiness and makes us holy. He represents us before the throne. The other thing is our high priest is blameless. You know what that means? It means no charge can be laid at his feet. None. Zero. You might point at me and find this or find that, and I might find something in you. But in Jesus, you can't find anything. Even Pilate said it, I find no fault in this man. There's no fault in this man. No charge can be laid at his feet. The Bible says Satan searched him thoroughly, trying to find a foothold. Do you know that's what the devil does? He searches you thoroughly to find a weakness, to find a foothold, to find something he can latch on to. The Bible says that he searched Jesus thoroughly, trying to find a foothold. But you know what Jesus said about that? Jesus says, Satan has found nothing in me. Wow. That's amazing. That's an amazing statement. He has found nothing in me. No charge. Search all you want, but you'll find no fault. And as my representative, why is that important to me? Because as my representative, he stands blameless before God to plead my case. And because of him, here's why it's good. Because of him, no charge can be laid at my feet. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That he might present you blameless before the throne of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Those are wonderful words. God is for you. God is on your side. God makes you a winner. We know who wins. How many of you have read the last chapter of your Bible? You know we win. Amen? We're the winners. The Bible says that on the cross he made an open show of our enemies. He totally defeated them. He exposed them on the cross. The captain of the Lord's host has left the battlefield and the day is his. He has won the victory. Amen? And he's blameless. And he has made us blameless. Our high priest, just a couple of more, our high priest is undefiled and separate from sinners. That is, he has met all temptations known to man and he's conquered them all. He was tempted in all points as we, yet without sin. It gives our high priest perfect identification with us. No angel in heaven could represent us as perfectly as Jesus. No seraphim in all of their flaming splendor could represent us like Jesus. Only the one who was born of a woman, who was a child, who was a boy, who grew to become a man. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was lonely. He was popular. He was weary. He was weak. He laughed. He cried. He feels what we feel. He's walked the roads we walk. The Bible says he knows our frame. He's been there. He's been there. And this makes him my perfect high priest. Who could better plead my case than one who's been there? In my darkest hour, when no one can understand what I'm feeling, when I don't even have the words to say it, I can't even tell the people closest to me the hurt that I'm feeling. I can't even give expression to it. He can be touched with my infirmity. He can be touched with my weakness. We have a high priest who is filled with mercy and compassion. His love is everlasting. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. You think you used them all up? They start all over the next day. They're new every morning. They don't run out. The mercy of God cannot be exhausted. People might look down on you. They might laugh at you. They might mock you, but Jesus never will. When others turn you away, when others turn their face, when others turn their nose up, Jesus will never turn you away. Jesus doesn't turn away anybody. He loves everybody. He welcomes all. I tell people all, everybody's welcome here. We'll preach the truth. We'll tell you what the Word of God has to say, but we'll love you. And Jesus, that's the heart of Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So cry out to him. Run to him. Come to him. He's a high priest. He's waiting on you. And lastly, our high priest is made higher than the heavens. The Bible says he has ascended into the heavens and taken his rightful place at the right hand of the Father in the throne room. He is a conqueror. He is a victor. He's in the throne room. And because of that, we have complete access to the Father. The Bible says we can come boldly, not ashamed, not cowardly, but boldly. Remember in the Wizard of Oz, when they were going in to see the wizard, and they were walking down that long hall, and the lion was shaking and holding his tail, and they were all just, and the tin man was shaking, and they were, you know, and the wizard was blowing smoke and fire, and everybody was, you know, that's the way people think of God, that we come to God. No, you can come boldly. You can come without fear. Amen. You're welcome there. You have a place there. You have a place in the throne room of God. I suppose that when Aaron's sons got old enough, because the Bible says that his sons and grandsons and great-grandsons would all serve as priests. They were from the tribe of Levi. And I suppose that when Aaron's sons got old enough, he probably took them by the hand and he brought them into the courtyard of the tabernacle. And he showed them the brazen altar and he said, "This is where the lamb is slain." And he took them to the laver of brass and he said, "This is where as a priest you will clean your garments and you will wash yourself." And then he took them into the holy place and there was a candlestick of gold and the golden altar of incense with that sweet aroma coming off of it. And over here was a golden table with 12 loaves of bread, the bread of the presence. And he said, "Here's where we worship. We offer our worship unto God. Son, this is where as high priest one day you will serve." And there before them, Aaron says to his son, "You see that curtain? I can't take you past that curtain. I can't take you past that curtain, son, because we only go in there one day a year at Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. That curtain that four yoke of oxen could not pull apart, that curtain that separates us from the Shekinah glory of God. But one day, if you're high priest, one day a year, you'll go behind that curtain and you'll come into the very presence of God. The glory of the Lord is on the other side of that curtain. But I'll tell you this, church. One day Jesus took me by the hand. He led me into the holy place. And I saw the candlestick. And I saw the altar of incense. And I saw the table of showbread, because Jesus is the bread of life, the bread of heaven. But I looked at that curtain and that curtain was torn to pieces. And he said, "You can now go on into the Holy of Holies, the very presence of the Father." Hallelujah. Because I made a way for you. I made a way for you. Amen. So you don't have to be afraid of God. You don't have to run from God. You don't have to hide from God. He's made a way for you. His arms are open. He's inviting you in. That's the kind of God he is. Let's stand together.